far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode, we review the Magic Users Club OVA series. Magic Losers Club. I mean, Users Club.
Welcome to another sponsored episode of the Anime of Yesteryear podcast.
Oh, I mean, yeah, this is the Magic Users Club episode of the OVA that we got from Right Stuff to do a product review for it. Thank you, Right Stuff, for sending us that. No pun jokes intended, because we want Magic Users Club to sell 300 million copies in the anime industry. And no other title will ever be close to it, not even Pokemon. Alright, I'll be real. Magic Users Club ain't that great, but it ain't that bad either.
Yeah, it was kind of like goofy and dumb, but it was still like enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, this is so much a testament to 90s anime or OVAs.
Yeah.
In terms of comedy or sex comedy, really. But I could tell like why like anime fans in the 90s would like this.
Yeah.
And I've actually seen clips of this in like AMVs in the past, but I never knew what they were.
But yeah, I didn't know about this because I'm not like a big fan of the magical girl genre. Like, I haven't seen all the pretty curse like Cloud has or whatever.
Dude, you know what? That's okay. I don't think you're required to watch every pre-cure, pedicure. Pedicure.
I haven't seen any of them actually, which is probably for the best. Knowing the Pedicure fandom.
Yeah, it's not for us. I mean, like, I don't know what to say about the Pedicure fandom or Pedicure fandom. I just want to call it Pedicure so bad. I just am. But like, that ain't our bag, and like, that's okay. But like, Magic Users Club. I mean, again, this is actually like, this is pretty fun. And I'll tell you something, I didn't notate anything, so everything's going to be off memory for the most part.
Yeah, that's the case with me as well.
Yeah, well, this might just be a short review. Maybe we should just leave it at that.
1 minute review or something.
Yeah. But yeah, Magic Users Club is basically like this club of people. I'm going to make this comparison now because it's totally what this is about. Magic Users Club is basically like the equivalent of today's Harry Potter Club. And the comic book or manga club that was rivaling against the Magic Users Club is like the equivalent of like an anime club at school.
So there's more members of the comic book club, as they call it in the dub. I think the subtitles call it the manga research club or something. But yeah, they've got like some chick with big tits and everyone's in the club because she's in there, I think.
Yeah, she's uses her endowment to like bully people to join her club. Or as the one girl in the Magic Users Club says, like the memories of evil or something like that.
That was during the beach episode, right?
Yeah, that was on the beach episode. I was like, man, this cannot have been real well written enough.
Yeah, because she had been like bullying the Magic Users Club president as a kid or something, and he was like, yeah, I'm remembering the memories of evil, and they were like right in his face, and then it showed like her as a kid tormenting him.
Yeah, but it was the fact that the girl was just like, oh, he's this poor, tormented kid. He's being tormented by her big boobs because he's a guy. And because this is like, this is totally 90s because this is like, this is probably when the start of like the nosebleed gag came into effect and was overused until about maybe the mid or late 2000s. And we haven't seen that in an anime since. Or if it comes up, it's very lightly.
They might still use it in some of the like shitty school shows that we don't even watch, but who knows?
Maybe they changed it to like, instead of blood, it's like snot, which is just an analogy for semen. I don't know.
That would be even worse.
I don't know, man. I've seen like some shows where it's just like, I don't know, some big boob girl will fall in, or like something happens where like they fall into something and it's like wet, sticky liquid everywhere. But it would be like something out of like a soup can or something that was like a mixing ingredient, or I don't know.
Like when Master Roshi throws the tomato soup on the invisible guy in Dragon Ball after he sees Bulma naked in the tub instead of having a nosebleed. Remember that?
I do not remember too much of Dragon Ball. Maybe I probably haven't even seen that one.
But no, I was thinking the Toonami version.
My thing was like I was thinking of that really big boob anime called Aiken or something, or Aiken, where the women have like submarines for boobs. Kind of, they're like that big, and it's a bad show. And I think the people on the internet watched it because of like, man, they took the boob ridiculousness and just upped it to 25.
That's anime for you.
Yep. Alright, so Magic Users Club is about a group of people that use magic, essentially. Like, there's like a subplot with it. Or maybe it's the main plot, I don't know, but it's like some alien beings come down to Earth, and it's like these big black balls that just kind of fly everywhere, and people have gotten used to them at this point. And there's some sort of like thing out in the middle of the ocean that's there, but nobody can get really close to. So like the first episode is them trying to explore out there. And then also trying to figure out like the best way to ride a broom. So in this case, the main girl is trying to figure out how to ride her broom, and it hurts her crotch and her butt crack or something. So she's constantly uncomfortable. And there's even like a part of the story where she has to go out and like try to find correct padding to sit on her broom properly.
Yeah, and they made like a lot of points like, about that in there.
There's all these like posture exercises where she's like at the schoolyard sitting on the rail, and she's trying to like learn how to keep her balance and everything, but she's such a klutz and keeps falling off.
Did you see the special feature where they showed like one of the anime producers on the bar trying to do that to see if like it would be an actual thing that you could do?
I think he was the director.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, this is my inspiration for how these kids are able to ride on the broom, and my pain from this metal bar is going to be put in the animation to show like what I experienced or something stupid like that. I don't know.
This is the sort of exercise CG does in his spare time.
You know, all right, so we need to talk about the characters. All right, then I'll just go ahead and pull up the stupid Wikipedia page because...
Did I remind you of the gay character who's always hitting on the main male?
I was about to get to that. So there is a gay character in this as the comedic gay guy or whatever, and his name is Aburatsubo or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I wanted to say he was the anime CG, but he's not, because he's actually one of the coolest characters in this show, other than just like constantly like. All literally drooling and being all over Takeo or Takakura. Because I was like, oh, it's anime CG because we thought of the gay guy. And I'm like, no, this guy's way better than CG. If anything, Takakura is actually CG because there was a point wherein there was a broom stuck up his butt. So I was like, even the straight guy has to be the CG character, so we'll just go with that.
There's this scene where the gay guy, he is being ridden by Takakura, and he's like insists on laying face up the oh. other guy was like laying face down and with the girls on his back, and this guy's like, ride me on top of me, and he looks like so happy that Tucker Kerr's riding him as a broom.
That's when they cast, that's like at the last episode where they cast like this spell of like, well, we'll just have to use the human body and substitute it as like a broom or a riding device or something. And then the gay guy's like, oh, only if Tucker Kerr can like ride me or her. And then the other dude is like a reporter and investigator that's with them somehow. And then he's just like, they're riding on his back. He's just like, I'm embarrassed because I have high school girls on my back or something.
Mm-hmm.
But there's even like so because we have three female characters and two male characters, really it's just the one. So, alright, let's go through the characters real quick. So the ditz girl, or the klutz, her name is Sai. Sanawawa Gucci or whatever. And then we got the girl with the dark hair that's voiced by Lisa Ortiz in English, but it's really hard to distinguish her voice. Even it was hard for me to figure that out. That's Nanaka Nakatomi.
Yeah.
And then we got the girl that's like the flirt, that she always goes out on dates, gets guys or whatever, and her name is Aikawa.
Yeah, and they all have a romantic plot.
Yeah. So Aikawa's interested in, like, or attracted somehow to the reporter dude that comes up, like, halfway through the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nakatomi is interested in the gay guy. And then Sai is interested in Takakura.
Mm-hmm.
But, like that was, like, the romantic interest is probably the best part of this LVA. Because it's like, this is obviously bound to come up. And then they talk about their feelings. Like, the gay dude is just telling Nakatomi, is like, hey, you know I'm gay, and I'm totally for Takakura. And he doesn't accept my feelings, and I have to kind of deny you because I ain't into girls. Which means you're hurt the same way I'm hurt because Takakura isn't into me. Because Takakura is into Sai, and Sai is into him. And then, of course, the manga club chick. Oh crap! I don't even know. Oh, that's other magicians, whatever. Then okay, her name's Miyama, and so Miyama has like a secret crush on Takakura, or it's kind of like she has feelings for him that they try to confront, and she like denies it, but then like they do like that thing on the beach episode when. They make one of the staff, like the staff is like a lie detector device.
Yeah, it's like a bird-shaped staff, and it's like saying like liar or beeping or something
they say lie. Yeah, call or whatever. Mm-hmm. When it, like he calls her like, you really pick on me because you really like me, and that's why you torment me, and then she gets really mad because like it's calling out of her bullcrap. And interesting enough, like, the photographer dude in this anime is voiced by Michael Center Nicholas.
Oh.
Which I thought his voice sounded familiar.
Yeah. I guess I recognized Ortiz and you recognized Santa Claus.
Santa Claus. Yeah, I even try to listen to it because I'm thinking of, like, Diedlitz's voice. And I'm just like, man, it didn't match up. But then, like, Center Nicholas's voice sounds pretty on par.
Yeah, so that character, he kind of shows up in, like, I don't know if he's in the first episode. I feel like him and the, how many episodes were this? Like, six?
Yeah, there was six.
Yeah. Well, I don't know when he starts showing up. Maybe it's in the beach episode, but he's not really in it very much, compared to the other characters.
He's only with the main reporter dude, which is Minoa.
Oh, yeah. There's another reporter as well, and he's even more useless. But
well, he's the big, like, dopey dude. He's the one that gets the attention of Aikawa.
Okay. Oh, okay, so I was thinking of a different one then. Yeah. So the one that's smaller of the two of the reporters is the one that Santa Claus was...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Santa Claus. It's like you're saying a cinder block and Santa Claus in one word.
Cinder Claus, yeah.
All right. I mean, basically the plot is they try to go It's just really a lot of, like, broom riding, and, like, the first episode was them trying to go out to, like, why are these aliens here? And then there's a bunch of, like, Takakura is in, like, gets constant nosebleeds because he's like, oh, I'm down blousing Sai, and I'm seeing her boobs because of the wind and everything, nosebleed. And then, like, oh, I gotta grab on her ankle so she can hold me up. Oh, I see her panties, nosebleed. And then it's like, that even happens to with the reporter dude when he was, like, trying to rescue Aikawa because she came out of the shower, so he got to see, like, full view of her gooch, and then he drops, like, he falls, like, 100 feet on his butt, and he's completely fine. I was like, that's bullcrap.
That's anime physics.
Oh, yeah. Which means there's no anime, there's no physics in this.
Yeah.
But they actually meet the reporters in the first episode because they're out in the middle of the ocean. I think they're trying to investigate, like, they're out there, like, illegally or something. And then they try to investigate, and apparently the group kind of crashes near their boat. And so that's kind of how they all meet in the beginning. And then the second episode was apparently the – oh, man. No, that's the one we get introduced to the girl that runs the manga club or the anime club. And then, like, there's even a part where, like, Takakura and the gay dude are, like, or he's, like, Takakura's, like, okay, they keep, like, we keep losing room because they're at this point, like, the Magic Users Club, like, club room is basically in, like, a janitor's closet. And they're sharing space with the manga club, but they have, like, a, like, one of those, like, fold out barrier walls or whatever. And so apparently Takakura's been chalking, like, how far back their space has been. And then basically they keep expanding, like, like an inch every day. And he's like, I'm not going to put up with this. So then he tries to confront the president of the manga club. And then he's like, trying to have a conversation with her. But then she's like, oh, here, look at my big tits. And he's just like, noise blade.
Yeah.
And then he got
there's a lot of jiggle animation.
He likes boobs, and she's using that against him, and he can't help himself. She's mean and a cruel person. And
is that your impression of Sai?
Man, that's about the best you're going to get, yeah.
Yeah. And so she seems to like Takakura, and she doesn't like how that other girl's teasing him.
Yeah, well, it was interesting because in the second episode, like, you've got Nakatomi... That's like, Sai, we're going to go up to Takakura, and we're going to tell him that we're not in this club because it's stupid, and we need to do regular life stuff, teenage girl stuff together, and we're just going to stand up to him. And apparently with Sai, she's, like, down on herself because she can't use magic. So, but then she's really, like, the best magic user in the club, whatever. That plot's there.
There's something like they have to have a certain amount of members that they bring up, and it's like... If these two girls don't stay as members, then the club will have to be shut down,
yeah,
or something.
They have to have five or more, and then with those two leaving, like, there's no way they can have the club.
Right.
So then they're trying to, like, quit or get out of it, but of course, like, Sai's heart doesn't want to, like, disappoint Takakura. And then Nakatomi is just kind of there to support her friend, Sai.
She really wants to leave because she wants to, like, join some other club or something.
Yeah, they're like, we can join better clubs than this. But, like, I guess you can't blame them because it's like, again, like, it's my comparison to where it's like there's a turf war between the anime club and the Harry Potter club. Like, if you had that in your high school, that's like the nerdiest of the nerdiest thing you can possibly do and get in a war with it. And like, in terms of school clubs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, other than, like, man, I don't know, the Doctor Who club or something.
They haven't even really said what other clubs are at this school. Like, they just show these two clubs, and they don't really say, like, what else people do here, because there's not really very many characters in it.
Yeah, well, I mean, those clubs don't matter. Those, like, this is an anime about the clubs that do matter, John.
It's just funny how, like, nobody seems to really, like, care that these people can do magic. Even though there's, like, an official club called Magic Users Club that's taking up school space.
Okay, So maybe, like, this isn't the Harry Potter club, but more like a Satanist club or something. Like, I guess it's, like, maybe normal in Japan that they're, like, every school has, like, a Satanist club or something, or, like...
I don't think so.
Like, necromancy club, or... Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then there's, like, the scene at the beach episode where they're doing, like, magic tricks for the comic book club, because... Somehow they like make the Magic Users Club come over there by exploiting Takakura's horniness, and so he's yeah. like there, and then they're like doing various magic tricks, and all the people in the audience are like, her, they're really good at these tricks, but like it's real magic, and no one seems to really believe it or something, even though there's like this weird giant sphere or whatever that's in their world, but. They can't believe in magic, but they can believe in that or whatever.
Yeah, I just wonder, like, how, like, a club like that got approved. Like, and, I mean, they're doing magic, like, kind of, I guess, it's like, the parts where they're doing magic is, I guess they do it in front of people, but they don't really think much of it. Or, like, when, like, stuff flies and when it's done, there's not a lot of people there to, like, question what's going on. It's kind of like, oh, this is the reality where, like, really magic exists. And... Now they got to use it to fight aliens or something.
Yeah, I don't know. They bring up the sphere thing really not very much. Like, it's in the introduction to the episode where they have, like, the military and they're, like, in space and they're, like, shooting at it or something. And then I guess they don't succeed and then it, like, comes down and it's, like, a part of normal life. But it doesn't really... you know, do very much other than it's, like, always sticking probes up girls' skirts and stuff. So it's just, like, some horny alien probe.
Yeah, there's a lot of probing going on. But then there's also, like, the big floaty balls that go down the road. And people are like, oh, the big floaty ball is coming. And everyone just kind of, breaks off and makes a path for it. Like, imagine living in a society where you go to the movie theater and there's a giant black ball in front of you. And you're like, you want to tell it off, but if you do, you're going to get, like, anally probed.
I feel like that probe thing would only be at, like, porn movies or something. Because it just seems like this is, like, some really perverted alien that's behind all this. Like, it was probing that that really busty manga club member.
Oh, well, she was, like, they were attacking her for some... Oh, no. So the reason why these ball, like the probing is happening to people is the fact that I guess they're detecting magic. So like they played like the Akane girl or Aikawa girl, Akane, yeah. Like she has like, she plants like a magic trick on the manga president where she keeps having a flower go out of her head. So that she's like in the infirmary. And so then like the aliens are probing her because she's got magic in her because of the flowers. So then, but she thinks she's like some big, like, hot shit thing because she's like, the aliens are after me because I have a beautiful body and they want to inspect that. It's like she's going on the press, it's like they're really after her. And then they're not after her and then she gets offended by it or something.
Oh, yeah, they kept showing her talking to journalists when it was like the probe went after someone else and she was jealous.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The probes are like. I guess they're, like, the only real villains in this, unless you count the manga club chick as being a villain.
Yeah, man, not really. That's yeah. just kind of like...
She's just fan service.
Yeah, there has to be fan service. I mean, they're at a beach. Like, that was bound to happen.
There's a decent amount of fan service of the white-haired girl, too. Where she, like, is always flying into the Takakura in the beach episode, and, like, her breasts are in his face, and her ass is in his face. Right.
You remember more of this than I do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of that kind of stuff in here where it's, like, oops, broom mishaps, and then there's, like, brooms flying up his ass, and, like, breasts flying into his face, and ass flying in his face, and he's always seeing down people's shirts and skirts, and then he gets a nosebleed, and that kind of stuff happens all the time in this.
He's the luckiest man alive. He just has tons of TNA and broom handles all over him.
And
tentacles. Not so much the tentacles, but the tentacles go after the girls.
Yeah.
Because, hey, this is from Japan.
The tentacles are pretty creepy.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm trying to remember the episodes. Like, the second one was the club prayer thing. I think the third one was the beach episode.
Or and the second one, doesn't the white-haired girl, she just, like, walks in the club, and then she's like, hey, I'm here to change. And then he starts having this fantasy
fantasy, like, all they're all over him, like, naked and everything.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, the fourth one was, like, after school, how to deal with your feelings drama special. I think that was it.
That was the one where it was, like, Sai loves the president, and she doesn't know how to admit it to him. And then she goes up and she's like, I have a confession to make, which is that I really admire you, Takakura, because you are so good at magic. And then the other plot is like the other girl, Nanaka, and she's like in love with the gay guy. And she's like talking to Sai about it, and she's like, oh, he loves, Aburatobo loves... What's the crawl person's name? Whatever his name is.
Takakura?
Yeah, and then she says, oh, but Takakura's not interested in him, and then Sai says, oh, then it shouldn't be a problem, and then Nanaka gets all mad at her, and she's like, oh, but he's still gay, he's not gonna change the way he is for me, or whatever, and so it's all about unrequited love in this anime, and I guess there's not really very much drama with the reporter and the white-haired girl. Except that she's always being stalked by, like, a paparazzi, and she's, like, using magic to throw him up in the air and keep him suspended in midair and stuff. And
well, Akane turned that, like, she had, like, all these guys, like, chase after her that she's, like, I guess they, like, always bad dates, or she keeps going after, like, the wrong guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so then she's, like, I think she was next to, like, Nakatomi, and then she's, like, here, hide me real quick, and then she, like, makes the dude, like, fat, and then he starts, like, I guess she fills him up with helium, and he starts flying in the air. And people are like, what's going on with that guy? And they just kind of walk away. It's like, I guess he's gonna be okay, I don't know.
Yeah. I was expecting something more to happen to him, like that she was gonna make him explode or something, but that would have been too much for this.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, this is basically, like, a light kind of anime. It's not really very violent. But they still get mad at her for doing that. They're like, you're abusing your magic, even though he's stalking her and she was trying to get rid of him.
Well, apparently, like, the source of Saeed understand her magic better is that her inner symbol is a Naruto circle.
Oh, yeah.
And then she's got, like, that bear called, I don't even know anymore.
Jeffy, I think.
Jeffy, yeah. And so, like, the bear helps her. Like, the stuffed bear is her spirit guide, or spirit animal, I guess.
She's, like, mentally, like, 8 years old or something. Because she's got, like, a picture diary, and people are telling her, like, aren't you a little old for this? And she's got, like, these really childish drawings that look like they're made by Chris Chan or something.
Actually, I think she's a better artist than Chris Chan.
Yeah, it's a bit unfair to her to call her Chris Chan.
There is no comparison. She's obviously way better than him.
Yeah. But the point is, she's like, you know, she's very childish. She can't admit her feelings, and she's not very good at magic, and so on and so forth, you know.
She's I think she was like, I think there was like one part of the OVA, she's like, I'm not going to be a klutz. I'm going to actually try today to, like, walk straight and not fall down, and within the period of 2 minutes, she fell down like 20 times. She takes like 2 steps and falls flat on her face, and she's like, it's not gonna happen again! Kaplunk!
Did you see the,
what happened this time?
The bloopers?
I don't think I did, no.
After each DVD, they air like voice actor bloopers.
Okay.
And there's like one part where the voice actress for her, she's like, you know, she's running, and then she falls down, and she's running, and she falls down. And it's like the voice actress can't keep up, because every half second she goes, ah, you know, she's falling down. And then, like, before she can even finish one scream, she's gotten back up and fallen down again, because it's going on so many times over and over. And that was, like, the funniest part of them. But there was some other funny stuff in there, too. Like, Mike Pollock, he's always, you know, Dr. Eggman in the Sonic stuff in recent years. And he's in this as the, he's like the vice president for the manga club behind that, the hot chick. And he's always like singing songs about love or something. And He always, that dude. In the bloopers, he's always like, you know, making a little mistake there here and there, like he does in the Berserk DVD bloopers. He's just a funny guy, definitely. I think the way he does voice acting and the improvisation he does for the bloopers and stuff. There are probably some other ones, but I mean, I can't really remember anyone besides those two being on the bloopers, because they seem to have the most screw ups.
Yeah,
I mean, she like, you know, it's hard to do that really squeaky kind of voice that she does. I think probably for Sai, you know, like she sounds so like it doesn't sound like a natural voice. Like it's a kind of a cartoon voice, because this is like an older style of dub, where it's, you know, this is a 90s dub by Media Blaster, so it's like very cheesy acting, but that actually makes it more enjoyable, in my opinion, to have that kind of dialogue and acting in it.
It's a very 90s dub. Like it's kind of flat, but then it was at the same time, like, I still enjoyed it.
Like the previews I thought were hilarious too in the dub, where they're yelling names over and over, where it's Takakura, 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 yeah, Takakura. Yeah, yeah. Samanaguchi, 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 Samanaguchi. And every one of the previews is like that, or it's just a bunch of names being yelled.
Yeah, it's being repeated like 300 times. And then I think the last one, like, or the preview before the last episode, it was like sort of this fade in thing. Whereas, like, it just starts out slow. It's like, Takatura, 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 Takatura. And then it's like, what? And then it's like, Takatura, Takatura, Takakura, Takakura,
Takakura. Yeah, it's great.
I can't even say it. No, it was interesting because, like, they did the document, mini documentary on, like, Triangle Staff or whatever, the studio that worked on this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, in order to really, like, have in-depth research, we had to have... The staff had to take, like, a company trip to, like, a Naruto museum. And then, like, they basically sampled, like, ramen noodle stands, like, in their area and across Japan is what it felt like. Like, they went to Japan on the company trip to, like, sample, like, every, like, crappy, like, ramen and Naruto stand.
Yeah.
So, like, we have to savor all of these Narutos and study them by, like, pouring, like, eating, like, five times a day or something ridiculous.
Yeah, I noticed they said in there, I don't know what it means, but they said something like Naruto Uzumaki at one point, which is even the name of the, you know, the main character in the Naruto series. But, you know, this is before that series came out, because this is like mid-90s. That came out in the late 90s, early 2000s. So,
yeah, Naruto, I thought it started in 99.
Yeah, that's probably right, but the anime is like 2000 or 2001, maybe.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, or 2002 even, but it was like they had... you know, they had that as a symbol in this before they used it in Naruto, which I wonder if maybe Kishimoto saw this and he was like, hey, that's a good mascot. I'll use that in mine as well, because that was like, you know, the mascot of the company. But, you know, obviously they didn't actually have a copyright on the concept of a Naruto swirl that they have in ramen, because that's like, you know, that's something that is in like thousands of Japanese dishes and around the whole country, different ramen stands.
Yeah, so you can't like really add a patent to a food type. That's stupid. That's like saying that you want to put a copyright on using the word React for React videos on YouTube.
Yeah. And there's also a part where they were talking about, like, they were... Some of these guys were from the Sailor Moon anime, I think. I'm not sure how many of them, but...
I don't know.
I think that's probably a general thing in the 90s, where, you know how in the 2000s, every CGI movie that would come out in the U.S., the commercial would say, from the makers of Shrek. Well, oh, this is like, yeah, from the makers of Sailor Moon. You know, they do that on like all the magical girl stuff in the 90s, because there will be like, you know, some small overlap in the character designers or the animators or... the directors or something, and so they can say, oh, this is just like the new Sailor Moon, and it's going to be as popular as that was.
Well, the guy who directed it, Junichi Sato, directed Sailor Moon and Sailor Moon R, as he's credited as the series director for those.
Okay, so it was like a big person that was involved with it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I thought this guy was coming to Animazement, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, well. There's somebody that's coming to Animazement that sounds like he's got that name that worked on like Nandesco or something.
Do you hear a background noise or is my mic filtering it out?
It's kind of like I hear a background noise, but I don't think it's too distracting.
Okay,
good. Why is that your air conditioning?
I don't even know what it is. My parents will deal with it if it's a problem.
If there's a funny smell in the house, it might be a problem.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll wait till it smells bad. Oh, we'll wait till we pass out.
Wait till I'm brain alive.
Wait till you're brain dead.
It probably just is the air conditioner at home. Okay. Anyway, so was there anything else in the special features, or should we get back to the actual episode?
I don't know. There was a lot of, like, openings or, like, trailers, and then, like, a creditless opening and ending, so.
There was a part where he was, like, sitting sideways on the bar, the director, and he was like, this is how Abu Ratsubo sits on his broom, and that's the best way to sit on a broom. And then in episode 5, I think, or 4, or whichever one with the romance, it was, like, Abu Ratsubo teaching Nanaka how to ride on a broom, and she's like sitting on it with like her feet over the one side of it like Abu Ratsubo does.
Yeah.
Which would be like the less uncomfortable way, because that way the broom is like only in contact with your ass and it's not like being stuck up your crotch or whatever. Like,
it's not being stuck up your clit or unclit.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Can't help but make that joke. I don't know. I mean, basically, the OVA ended with... Because, I mean, anything else is just kind of like... I don't really... Like, there was a part where I think the robots went after Sai in, like, episode 5. And then Takakuro tried to rescue her. And then somehow they got captured and she didn't. And then she's like, it's up to her to go and save her friends. And that's when she's flying around in like the big cylinder because it like parks itself over Japan, over that part of Japan that they're at. And so she's like, well, she had those robots after her. So then she decided to turn everything into brooms. And then like the friend, and then her, and then everybody in the club is able to like get their own. Or, no, they all get on a giant broom to get them, to get themselves out of the trouble.
Yeah, wasn't it like they were going to rescue her? I feel like she got caught by the aliens or something.
Oh, no.
And then they got caught too, and then they were all in the net, and they were like all groping each other, and they're like, "Don't touch me there," and over.
"Don't touch me there, Takakura."
Oh yeah, he was like enjoying it. He was like grabbing Takakura, and he was like, "What? We're trapped in a net."
Yeah. No, what happened was that they captured her, and then, like, there's these robots around her, and I think they probably probed her or whatever. And so then Takakura and the gang, like, use, like, a teleportation thing where they make, like, a seance circle in their group room or janitor's closet. And so then they decided to get her out of there by that, but then the same process, they all, like, go in the same – that way. And then, so then, like, it's up to her to rescue them, and it's up to them to try to get out of there. Which is where they had to turn their bodies into, like, human brooms, and they wind up getting captured.
Right.
And Sai saves the day, and then they have, like... Okay, so I think the big spaceship thing turned it... No, it turned into a giant sakura tree. So then there's, like, sakura petals everywhere. And then, like, I guess the TV series is them, like, basically trying to clean up the mess or something. That's how the OVA kind of ended it.
Right, we still have to watch the TV series, which they also sent us.
Yeah.
So look forward to a review from that in the future.
I don't know, I figured we could probably... I don't know if you wanted to split this up or just combine the two into one episode.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have other stuff to be put out first. So it might be a while before we release this one, because we still have, like, Civil War, I think, right? That hasn't been released.
Yeah, I've got some other recordings I need to put out, too.
And the Dogrum and Garzy's Wing.
Yeah, well, Dogrum and Garzy's Wing is coming out tomorrow.
Okay.
So that's taken care of. I'm going to Animazement this weekend, so I'm going to do a con review on that. So that's going to be coming up. And then there's E3 or whatever, how much we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, I don't really think there's really much to talk about there other than the new Zelda. I guess there's going to be some virtual reality crap that we could talk about.
Yeah, or we can talk about the biggest fails of E3 that are going to come up, because you know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. Like, we're at 40 minutes for a 6-part OVA, and I feel pretty good. I have nothing else I want to add to it.
Yeah, I think we covered most of the highlights. So we'll move on to closing remarks then, where we're going to talk about the Ghostbusters incident that happened this week with James Rolfe, also known as the Angry Video Game Nerd. He apparently he's now hated by the feminists. This first came to my attention when the Angry Video Game Nerd movie came out, and he was under attack because there's some sort of, you know, the character in that is supposed to be sexist, where he's like bros before hoes, and he like abandons the girl at one point, and it's like, you know, it's like a satire on how nerds treat girls badly, and that's why they can't get laid, and you know, it's not supposed to be like glorifying being bad towards women, but, you know, there's like a total tone deafness among, you know, feminists who are totally humorless and don't get that the nerd is a satirical character. He's not
like
actually...
Like women, am I right, guys? Ooh.
What'd you say?
You're like, yeah, they're just tone deaf, and they, and I was just like, yeah, like real women, right, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna get so much hate mail from that.
Yeah, best not.
No, people that may find that offensive, that's what we consider satire. Maybe bad, but I am not serious in that at all. So.
Right. Yeah, and I'm sure Rolfe is not serious with, like, he's not actually the Angry Video Game Nerd, in case people haven't figured that out yet after the character's been around for 12 years. But he is not actually that character. That character is a comedic character. But this these new videos, I think, are not the nerd in character. You know, they're just his version of his views of Ghostbusters 3. And he's saying, like, this should have been a sequel and not a reboot. And so they were saying, you know, this is sexist. You can't believe that. It's obviously the best possible situation that they've got female comedians in it, and if you're not looking forward to it, then you must be sexist, even though there's only, I think, one time when he says that there are even female actors in it, now people are calling it the female Ghostbusters. That's all he said about females in the whole video.
They got females in it as the main roles. Like, you're pointing out the obvious, but then you're wrong for pointing out the obvious.
Right. And he was just saying that is, like, why it's going to be inconvenient to have to refer to the old Ghostbusters as the 1983 Ghostbusters.
Or 87, whenever that came out, yeah.
Yeah, because it's, like, the, you
or
know...
85, I think? Whatever.
Well, whatever, the 80s Ghostbusters, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because now this one is being called Ghostbusters. It's not being called Ghostbusters 3, and he wanted it to be called Ghostbusters 3, so... Because, you know, there's a lot of videos, if people actually know this guy, that he's made where he's, like, chronologically confused about titles. You know, like, he did one where he's, like, talking about the titles of the Rocky movies and the Rambo movies, where he's, like, why do the titles not just have 1, 2, 3, 4 on them? It's so confusing how they add the last names.
He put that out a couple years ago, and, like, he's got a good point with, like, you know, Rocky VI is known as Rocky Balboa. Or it's said as Rocky Balboa, but it's the 6th Rocky Balboa movie. And then you got Rambo, which are 4 of them, but then the last one is John Rambo. Or, yeah, I believe it's just John Rambo. I don't know, I got the Blu-ray collection for that.
I think you're right, but yeah. They can't, like, do the numbers anymore in movie titles, it seems like, because they must have done market testing since the 80s or 90s, where they have started to not do that as much, and they realized, well, people see a number and they think they have to have seen all the previous ones, so we want to make everything seem like either a reboot or a sequel where you don't have to have seen the original, because it will have new characters but also old ones to appeal to the old fans. So now everything that Hollywood does is very, you know, calculated, and so they don't do things like call a movie Ghostbusters 3 when Ghostbusters 2 came out 30 years ago, because they're aiming at young audiences who haven't necessarily seen the originals, and they don't want them to be daunted by the fact that there's a number at the end of it. So they're just calling it Ghostbusters, and he doesn't like that.
In the case of the Rambo movies and Rocky, you kind of have to see them in order. So with Rocky 6, or Rocky Balboa, like, it's telling the story of an ex-boxer after, like, the events in, from the first five movies. So, like, it's kind of made there, like, where a new person to Rocky can watch it and maybe go back and watch them again. Well, actually, technically, there's kind of seven Rocky movies if you count Creed, since that's considered a Rocky movie also, which I need to still see Creed. I haven't seen that one yet. It's telling the story of this person's life, but I mean, at the same time, it's kind of like if you go back to, and watch them through, you know so much about the character than just jumping into like a sixth movie in the series. And with Rocky, I mean not Rocky, but like with Rambo, like he's this ex Vietnam vet in exile, like in the middle of like Cambodia or whatever. So he's had some hard times, and so like. You know, he's like this trained killer, but like you get to know more about him and why he's in that position if you watch the first three movies. But like with Rambo 4, like it can stand alone by itself, but like it kind of like I've seen the first three, so like it means a lot to me knowing that there's a fourth Rambo movie, and so that kind of ties everything up when like on how it ended.
Right, and this is not like those sequels where those were just continuations of the story, but. You know, not entirely where you had to have seen the previous ones, but it did help. You know, this is just a new continuity because Ralph mentions in his video that they don't have the original actors playing their characters from the previous Ghostbusters movies. They're just going to be in there as cameos, and they're going to be not playing their old characters. And he was saying he's not happy about that and that he wanted them to reprise their roles. And
I can empathize with him for sure on that.
Yeah, and people were making fun of him for this, and they were saying, how dare he say he wants them to be back in their old roles, like Harrison Ford and, Chewbacca Jones, returned.
Or and, Star Wars?
Right, yeah. Oh. They were saying, well, not every movie is going to be Star Wars, James. Why don't you just get over it, you little baby? And they kept saying he was like... They made it out to be like he was some sort of man baby and he was like bawling in the video. But if you watch the video, he's perfectly calm and he's a very relaxed guy. He's actually not the angry video game nerd. He doesn't actually have a temper.
No, it's him talking about it from James Rolfe perspective, not AVGN. And he's like, and when he did the second Ghostbusters thing where he talks about the whole history of Ghostbusters 3, well, both of them, like, he's completely fine. He's just like, look, I mean, like, I've got my grievances on this. This is my opinion, because apparently in today's age, it is so wrong for you to share an opinion.
Right, and they were saying, oh, James, you're a movie critic. Why don't you just go and see the movie? I posted an article in the Slack chat. It was like some clickbaity kind of bullshit article.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
I think it was Daily Dot or something like that. And it was some guy saying... James is totally not sexist, and when they say that, they're of course being sarcastic, because that's how SJWs speak. They indirectly call people sexist by saying, I'm not saying you're sexist, I'm just saying you're problematic, or I'm just saying that you may have a hidden sexism. Oh, my mic went out.
Yeah.
Or okay, it's back now, I think. But they're saying, you're secretly sexist, even if you're not acknowledging it.
Well, it's like, I'm not saying you're sexist, but, and then you describe the definition of sexism in that context.
Right.
And you pointed the finger at them. I didn't say the word sexist, but, aka, means the definition of sexism for this person.
Yeah, or they'll say, well, you're insensitive to sexism because other people who also don't like the movie are sexist. And so if you take the same position as them, then you're sexist by association. Well, I mean, racists also breathe air. Should we not breathe air for fear of associating with racists by doing the same behavior as them? I mean, come on. Everybody has common characteristics like that, and it's ludicrous to to do this guilt by association crap that they often do.
So what you're saying is we need to have our own air, so the feminists have their own air, the racists have their own air, and everybody else can breathe the air we've been breathing for since the beginning of time.
I'm saying maybe the social justice warriors should stop breathing air so that they don't have to associate with people who breathe air. Maybe then they can...
Or we can just put them in an artificial colony in space where they can breathe artificial air.
They can make their own air where if you have any bad thoughts, the air cuts off and then you die because you've violated the social justice warrior code.
I can imagine that. Not that their whole... If they happen to segregate themselves on an island or in a colony cylinder and they're like, we're not going to have any bad thoughts, I can imagine them dying out within 5 minutes.
Right, because...
If you put them all together, one of them is going to disagree with each other on how ultra-feminist they are, a.k.a. bad thoughts, according to their understanding, and then they're all just going to die out. So isn't that like the Darwin way of taking care of things? I don't know.
And these people who are castigating him for not, you know, seeing the movie, and they're saying, oh, you're being, you know, you're not being impartial, like you're supposed to be an unbiased movie critic. Well, the thing is, this guy is not actually a movie critic, you know?
He's a video game critic that happens to like movies and has an opinion about them.
Right. He makes videos after he sees a movie, and... He puts them on his website, but they're not scripted like his video game content. They're just like a bonus for the fans to keep content coming out while he's producing the more heavily produced stuff like the Angry Video Game Nerd episodes. So it's not supposed to be like Cinemassacre is all about reviews of new movies, because the new movie reviews are always... unscripted. They're always just, you know, his first take with Mike, who he usually sees them with. Mm. So it's like, for him to not see this movie, like, are they going to give him trouble because he doesn't see every romantic comedy that comes out and review them? Like, he doesn't see every movie. He picks and chooses what he's going to review because he just wants to talk about stuff that he thinks might look cool. And in this case... The trailer looks bad. You have to acknowledge the trailer looks terrible for Ghostbusters.
It is a bad trailer. It might be a little bit better than Jim and the Holograms, to my opinion, excuse me. But
pretty low bar.
I mean, I saw it. I saw it when I went and saw Civil War with Dory, and I was just like, I don't know, man. And I don't even think she was that impressed with it either. I was like, I don't care to see it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just got a lot of negative buzz about it already. And for all the backlash he's gotten, if you actually look at the likes to dislikes ratio on the YouTube video, it's more than 10 to 1 in favor of him. But it's just that the people who are, you know, making these false indictments and slanderous accusations, as Ghost would say, are going to be sued for punitive damages if Rolf were really like Ghost and goes after people. But I mean, it's really a shame what they're doing to his reputation. The majority of his fans understand what he's trying to say here, but they're just these people who are totally misrepresenting his position in order to virtue signal and show how much better they are than him, because they're going to see the movie and that proves that they're good feminists, and it's just ridiculous.
So what makes you a good feminist is spending $12 to see a really crappy bad movie.
Right, we have to waste our money and time.
That is the ultimate life goal for these people. I mean, like, get a freaking life.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. No, I'm not.
Apparently the way to advance women and their role in the world is to just watch really awful looking movies.
I don't even know if I guess the feminist community probably not is going to be like behind Ghost in the Shell or something. Cause like, oh, they did that Asian face CGI thing. Well, no, they didn't, because they took care of it, nipped it in the bud. It just got leaked online, but that wasn't even an issue that people are still about.
Yeah, that movie, you know, there are going to be women who are involved in making that movie, so maybe they should have to see it because they have to support other women. Maybe they should have to see every single movie that comes out because women are involved in making every movie that comes out. You know, it's ridiculous to say, like, if you don't see a movie that women are involved with, you're sexist, because there are women involved in some element of production, in acting or in video editing, with every single movie that's come out for decades.
I feel like the feminists doing this just to support each other is just the equal level equivalent of, like, clit rubbing each other. I can't say circle jerking because that's a guy term. Or vagina rubbing. Anyways, but it feels like they're, like, patting each other on the back and, like, circle vagina rubbing each other, like, and how proud they are to support, like, a bad movie. Because it's a woman that, like, because women worked on it or something, or, like, whatever. I mean, for all we know, maybe the new Ghostbusters movie is going to be fantastic. I don't know, but based on the trailer, and I think even, like, the actors who looked at that, that worked on it, that saw the trailer, like, they weren't even impressed with it. Like, yeah, this ain't that gonna, not gonna be that good.
Yeah.
And it's like, you, like, really, like, your life's goal and your self-worth is to support a bad movie. Like, John, I'm gonna say it now, what the fuck happened to this world?
Exactly.
I'm serious! What happened? This was everything that, like, people are so, like, bowed up about online was not an issue online a decade ago.
Is it just me, or have people become just so extreme during the Obama era? I don't know if it's just that.
It's ultra sensitivity. It's like it came out of nowhere. Everyone's offended and pissed off about everything. Yeah. I don't know why.
I mean, there's no way something like the, you know, the transgender bathroom controversy or any of these controversies, like 10 years ago, 20 years ago, they would have been inconceivable that people would be arguing about this stuff. But
that's not even an afterthought to think of, like, how that's an issue. It's just like, you do whatever you want to. Just use the bathroom and get out, and don't tell anyone that you're the opposite sex, or don't even appear that you are. Problem freaking solved. Like, nobody cared. I never even thought that was an issue. The gay rights thing has been going on for 30-something years. But it's like, okay, fine. The Supreme Court ruled it, whatever. And then, like, all of a sudden, like, it's just downhill spiral of, like, stupid crap.
Yeah, and now they've, like, you know, they've got the whole country is just so divided where, you know, Texas is saying they're not going to enforce the transgender bathrooms in the public schools where Obama was trying to, you know, change the law where everybody can go in whatever bathroom they like in elementary school and high school and middle school, and thinks that nobody's going to abuse this. And, you know, Greg Abbott down in Texas was saying, we're not going to go ahead with this illegal executive order that's trying to social engineer. And, you know, there's all these conflicts over all these sorts of things now. And it's like, you know, the Marxist view that the personal is political is a triumphant now, where every personal choice anybody makes has to be some sort of political statement about, you know, what do you think about feminism? What do you think about transgenderism? Everything has to be related to some modern issue or whatever. And you can't just make a choice based on your opinion of, like, does this look like a good movie or not? Because now everything is viewed through the lens of, well, if you make the wrong decision, you're going to be sexist. Or, you know, you can't make a choice just based on your own opinion anymore. It has to be based on political correctness.
It's like political correctness is, like, the new, like, self-respect way to get involved in life. And that is completely wrong. It's totally wrong. Like, I feel like even us talking about it, like, I feel kind of sick talking about it. Like, it's stupid. All of it is.
It is crazy what's going on in the internet in this age.
It's like the things on the internet, like, all of a sudden matter. It's like, no, it should never have mattered to begin with. And it's like everyone's opinion has to be valid and matter. And it's like, no, it doesn't, because every thought and everything that comes out of your mouth is not the smartest freaking thing ever that has to be respected, even if you cry wolf and bitch to hell about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous. We're all supposed to take these criticisms of Rolf seriously because, you know, because he's stepped on some sacred cow. But, you know, people say, oh, well, that's a sexist term there. Are you saying women are cows because they have udders? You know, like, every little bit of word, every little bit of dialogue is now, like, instantly suspect of, like, what is the true meaning of this, you know? I took some class on linguistics in college, and it was like, you have to use the term postal carrier instead of mailman now, or you're going to be sexist. Or,
what?
Like, fire person instead of fireman. Or police person instead of policeman. And any term that has man in it is, like, considered to be some sort of, you know, hateful, archaic word that should be kept in the past, and we have to come up with a whole new language, whole new terms for every occupation, everything, you know, everything has to be completely changed, total cultural revolution, and, you know, look where that turned out when they did the cultural revolution in China. Millions of people died for thought crimes because they had the beliefs that people had had for millions of years. They were Confucians or they were Buddhists or whatever, and then, you know, the Marxist atheists came in and murdered them for that. And, you know, is that what's going to happen? People who are Christians and don't believe in transgenderism are going to get put in gulags now or something? Or,
well, I mean, in the Bible it does state that, like, anyone who follows after Jesus and Christ is basically kind of cursed to persecution. And it's kind of slowly, gradually getting that way here in America. I mean, that's the truth. So, but I don't know, man. Like, in terms of, like, political correctness, you want me to just call a cop, or instead of a policeman, just call it a cop or a pig? Like, I'm not, there's not a man in that. Like, pick your poison. I mean, really. Yeah. Well, officer, I guess officer works. But, there's different kinds of officers, so you gotta be specific.
Yeah. I think we're just supposed to refer to them as, you know, murderers or something. You know, we're supposed to believe that all cops are evil now because of the Black Lives Matter thing.
But I think Trump, yeah, just needs to get Obama needs to get out, and we just probably just don't need a Democrat in office for a while.
Yeah, and the thing is, I don't know that Trump is really going to be as anti-PC as he's been up to now. Like, I think maybe that was just a ploy to get the, you know, the nomination or whatever, because he knows that Republicans like that stuff. But, you know, at least he is, you know, willing to be politically incorrect on some things. And
yeah,
he's, like, breaking up the whole consensus of everybody has to think this way about every single thing. And, you know, even though he's probably going to be a terrible president, I do think he will get elected. And at least there will be some positive outcomes from that, maybe, if we're lucky.
I view a president this way. A terrible president is someone who gets our country nuked. However, reform said there should be a maximum wage cap where everyone, like, the maximum wage is like $5 or $6 million or something.
Yeah, that would be a disaster kind of policy, though, because yeah, all the corporations would leave the country, and then we would,
yeah,
be.
Yeah, well, they're already leaving the country now.
Right, but I mean, with Trump, at least he does have some plan for getting them back, whereas Hillary just wants to raise their taxes even more, and that will just make them continue to leave. So, I don't know. I mean, you have two bad options, and I'm going to vote a Libertarian again, but I am kind of rooting for Trump just because I think we don't need 8 more years like the last 8 years, and Hillary is going to be that.
Yeah, it's like nothing really changed or will change if Hillary's in office. So, and instead of Obamacare, it's Hillary care.
And there was Clint this care. Ghost video this morning where he was talking about World War IV, and he was saying, you know, that if we pick Hillary, it's going to be 8 more years of, you know, Obama trying to start a new Cold War with Putin, and Hillary's going to be like that too, where she's going to be, you know, doing military exercises right on their border and being aggressive to them, whereas Trump says he can try to get along with Putin. So maybe, you know, maybe we'll be able to join forces with Putin in attacking ISIS in Syria and, you know, be more closely allied with them, because we really don't want to get in a nuclear war with the next biggest country on the planet, because that would destroy civilization.
They're the second biggest country. I mean, you got China too. I mean, they're still a superpower, even though they're like they're considered a federation. But
they still have a lot of land.
The point is, we don't need a war.
Yeah. I mean, if we can work with them to deal with terrorism, if we can work with them to you know, try to get rid of Islamic extremism to some extent, and that would be a good thing, because, you know, if there's an enemy here, it's the people who took down the World Trade Centers, the people who shot people in San Bernardino. It's not the Russians. You know, the Russians have not attacked us. They're, you know, maybe they're doing bad things in Ukraine, but that's not our country. That's for the Ukrainians to deal with. And
yes,
I feel like at least Trump understands that more than Hillary does, because Hillary is like, she wants to get involved with everything, meddle in everything, every aspect of our lives. You know, she would, like, imagine this political correctness on the gender issue when we have Hillary as president. It's going to be so much more extreme than it is now if she gets in there, where, you know, everybody who doesn't see Ghostbusters is going to be saying, well, why are you not seeing it? Do you not want to embrace our new era of enlightened feminism and, you know, get rid of all the males from every position in society, and that will solve everything, and we need to get all the male actors out? And, you know, like, the amount of extremism that I could see coming there, it could be really a problem.
Oh, I mean, what a fun country we live in.
It's just nuts, isn't it?
Yeah, this is why we have closing remarks. I'm pretty sure all of our listeners have left. They probably left 20 episodes ago.
I hope.
Please, if you have any
mind.
Contradicting opinions to what we say, please leave it in the comment section.
We surprisingly never seem to get any hate comments when we go on a rant like this at the end.
Our comments are trickling in. We used to get a lot like a year and a half ago or so. And then I felt like once I started promoting on the podcast, that all dwindled. But I mean, I was like, whatever. But I mean, like, if we still, we're still open to comments.
But even the negative
comments we get, like, are usually about, like, something stupid I did or said about someone at a convention.
Yeah, that was the only
episode we did. Someone on a forum that if someone really cared about, like, how dare you make fun of Hellcat because he, like, gunned him seed on Toon Zone. Like, they don't even matter.
Yeah, and there were those comments on the Cool Kids Club when we did the episode where CG and Steve got in a fight, and then it was like, Sketch came in there and he was like, edit that out right now.
And I didn't.
I do regret
doing that, yeah.
It eventually got changed, I think, but yeah.
Well, I sent Mason an edited version, but the unedited version is still out there, and I think it's on our site, so.
Oh, really?
I think so, yeah. I know I put up that it was Battle Royale High School. And I saved that at the end, and I know I linked it to our archive.org, but I'm not sure which file it is. I just assumed it was a CG one. I'm like, no one's going to listen to this.
Well, it's on the tuneradio.com that we used to host our website.
We used to put episodes. Like, yeah, well, the early episodes for Cool Kids Club, I don't even know if I still have those, because I gave everything to Mason, and then he lost them. So,
right, yeah.
That was like, crap. Because I did a review of Police Knots, and then we did one on Ogre Slayer, which I don't even know. Maybe I still have those episodes somewhere. I have no idea. Ogre Slayer sucks so bad, man.
I think that was, like, the last episode we had Fiku on as a regular, and he was like, it's getting to be a job to have to watch these awful anime OVAs. I'm done.
What was he doing at the time? Nothing.
Yeah, I don't know what he's done
now, again. Except to go on our Slack chat and basically be like, Dustin, you're a hypocrite because you said you support the anime industry, and here you are saying you BitTorrent an anime. How dare you?
Yeah, he was upset because you said in the
Evangelion 3 episode about, like, I guess I was preachy about how I wanted to support Evangelion 3 in the release here, which, yes, I did, and I waited on that, but, like, I guess he makes me out to, like, a supporting extremist for the anime industry. And they still want to criticize, like, well, how does that affect your position of getting free stuff from Right Stuff? I'm like, none of it! Because that's promoting from a company that's giving us their stuff to talk about. Like we did in this episode.
Right, I mean, we both gained
like,
from that.
They offered it to us, and I was like, heck yeah! Like, why would you not say no to that?
I mean, we get it for free. We get to talk about, you know, an extra bit of material. They give us an idea for an episode. This fits with, like, the theme of our podcast because it is an old anime, and it's an OVA. We do a lot of OVA reviews.
They are easier to review, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's just, like, there's no real downside to accepting this. It's not like we're dedicated to the concept of piracy like Daft is, where he's actively hostile towards legitimate releases.
Yeah, he's proud of the fact that he doesn't want to buy anything except maybe like something once a year, if that.
The Megas XLR merchandise. That's
yeah,
all.
But he supports the stuff he really cares about. Anime is not something he totally cares about, but he watches the heck out of it. Doesn't make any sense, but
he's not willing to put his money where his mouth is, you know? He's not going to actually commit money to support a hobby of his that he's had for many years, but he can't actually, you know, do anything to keep the industry alive. And like when we ask him about this, he says, well, I'm not going to support any physical media because it's a waste of space, and it's you know, not like the creator gets very much of the profit. It mostly goes to the corporation, blah blah blah. Well, somebody has to physically manufacture the DVD, and somebody has to license it, somebody has to write the subtitles, somebody has to do the voice acting, somebody has to do the animation. It's not all going to go to the, you know, the original creator of the manga or whatever, because there's a lot of different people involved in making a product. And they need to get money in order to keep putting out a product, and so that's why it's a good idea to buy things.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's like, okay, like Gundam New Origin 3 came out yesterday, and we'll get around to doing a review of that soon. But I was just like, all right, I'm just going to hop on Naya and get the 1080p thing from Horrible Subs, which they're ripping it from Daisuke, which is, if you sign up for Daisuke, it's free anyways. And, like, with Bakuwan, like, I was...
No, I think you have to pay on Daisuke even.
Oh.
It's like $15 to rent it.
Wait, 15? I thought it was like $8 or $9. Because I think I downloaded like the second episode. I thought I bought the first one.
I'm not sure, but it's expensive for a 1 hour episode.
Yeah, well, I mean, at the same time, like, I'm not a total pirate because I freaking dumped $15 in the Pure Onage movie. Pure Onage. This goes back to like 2003, 2004, which was one of like the earlier online like skit comedy things, kind of like Mega 64 did, which is related to video games. Pure Onage is basically like something I've been keeping up with and following with for 12 years at this point. Jeez, but they would make an episode every 3 months, and it was basically about the guy, like sort of a documentary of this guy that's a pro gamer. And he has like a funny, like weird way of talking, and like he uses a lot of like internet, like late speak language, like from 2001. And it's basically kind of like the story, and they made like this whole story and universe around this guy. And my brother and I have loved and enjoyed this thing. And so finally, like, they've been talking about making a movie for years, and so it finally like officially came out. And so like they have the option to download it on Vimeo. And or you can buy it off of there and get like the 1080 version to download, or you can rent it for $5. And I was like, well, I'm going to do what I did with the Angry Video Game Nerd movie, and I'll just pay the money to own it so I can download the movie and watch it on my own thing without the use of the internet. So I did that yesterday. So then my brother like compensated some money to pay me back so I can give him part of that. So it's like we went halfsies on it, and I can distribute it how I want to because I downloaded it and bought the thing. And, like, there was, like, a DVD rip of it, but it was, like, an early release from earlier this year. And I was like, nah, I'll just – so, like, I'll support little things like that. And, like, so I still support things, but, I mean, I don't know. I just, like, I figured, like, it was a quick thing just to download Gundam. And I guess that's splitting hairs or whatever. Whatever. But
– yeah, it probably would be better to buy it. But, you know, not everybody has an unlimited budget.
Yeah, I mean – I'm trying to conserve the money, the paycheck that I got from school. I mean, at school, but from work last week or 2 weeks ago, and using that to get to Animazement on Thursday and have money comfortably in my bank account for gas and food, and then I'm going to sell a bunch of stuff there, so then I'm making a ton of money that way. I mean, it's kind of like I'm in the favor of supporting things, and that's where my heart's at, but. I guess at the same time, it's kind of like I still download things, and so yeah, that's wrong. I'm sorry. Whatever, forgive me. But like, I usually try my best to support when I can.
Do you know if there is even a DVD of this Gundam The Origin OVA?
See, that's the thing. Like, I don't think there's a... Probably in Japan they released it about a month later, but, like, it hasn't come to America yet.
Yeah.
So, it's like once Right Stuff gets it, they'll probably bundle it together. Maybe. I don't know. But, like, that's the physical media, because I like to purchase physical media things. Like, when it comes to digital distribution, that's where I'm kind of, like, a little bit on. So it's like, but if it's physical and it comes out, like, I'm going to support that. Like, that's – and that was, like, you know, Vicky getting on to me about, like, oh, you were, like, totally gung-ho about buying Evangelion 3. I'm like, well, yeah, because it physically came out here in America. And that's why I threw $30 at it. And, like, I knew that's what I wanted to. I had my mindset on it. And, like, yeah, like, I'm pretty sure I said, like, in the episode that I downloaded it, but I never watched it because I never got around to it. But then once there was that set date, I was like, well, I'll just wait to buy it because then I can physically own it. Like, that was my personal choice there. And I didn't mean to sound like I was an elitist like he thought I would, or like I thought I did, which was stupid. Anyways, I don't know why he cares. He needs to get a job.
Yeah, I mean, there is a difference between, you know, occasionally downloading something and downloading literally everything like Def does. So
yeah, I'm like, if you're a high school kid and like you don't have a lot of money to begin with, like I downloaded a bunch in high school because like yeah, there was stuff I could have bought and purchased, but I didn't make a lot of money, and it was on like, you know, here it is easily accessible online that I can get through Kazaa or Morpheus or whatever those other programs that used to exist, or E-Mule or E-Donkey or whatever.
Yeah,
like, it was, yeah, and BitTorrent too. so, like, it was all right there. Like, it's kind of like, you walk in a candy store and there's no one there monitoring you on how much you want to take. And
this was before the government took down Rapid Share and Mega Upload, yeah, and all these sites.
This is before the government cared. It was a good time.
This was like the Clinton era or early Bush era where there were some small regulations.
Early Bush era, nobody cared. Even I had a friend in high school was just like, he was like, he claimed that like the government would never crack down on this. Well, he was right for about 4 or 5 years until Obama came in office. But
yeah.
I think they mostly focused on the music industry because like they didn't really care about the movies. And then eventually the movie industry was like, well, we need to care about it now. So
yeah, the movies, like if you download a modern camera app or whatever, you get in trouble a lot of the time. Yeah. Or at least so I've heard from Daft Punk Fan 37.
Well, I've had that call before from my internet provider when I downloaded 40-Year-Old Virgin like 5 years ago.
Yeah, he got
and
in trouble
I got
for
it. I got it from Pirate Bay, and I've never used Pirate Bay since. Because apparently, like, they put that tracker out there. That's what I think it is. It's like it's a bait thing, and they see how many people get it. And I got it, and then 3 or 4 weeks later, I got a call from my IESP saying, oh, hey, did you download this movie? And I'm like, and I'm like, I'll check on that. And they call me back. I'm like, well, I couldn't find it anywhere. And the guy's like, all right, we'll just put in a ticket and monitor your service for 6 months. Okay.
Yeah, Pirate Bay is not very secure. Government's always investigating it and trying to arrest the people who run it and everything. Yeah. But yeah, that's, I guess, the state of the internet downloading situation today.
Yeah, well, now companies have changed everything where, like, it's like, you still have to purchase for it, but it's just like, why bother to get in trouble for downloading when you can just, you're still going to download it, but just pay for it?
I mean, there is the issue of, like, the, you know, they have, like, a strikes thing now where it's, if you download something enough times and get caught over and over with certain ISPs, then you get your internet speed slowed down, and so that's like another disincentive against doing it. And I know Daft said he got in trouble for downloading a superhero movie in the late 2000s, and I think that might have even been like the Bush 2 era. But then there was the like he got in trouble with HBO for downloading Curb Your Enthusiasm in real time. So he's like, you know, with that one, he at least acknowledged that he can't torrent it anymore, and he like uses streaming sites now. But it's still
even though the streaming
illegal.
Sites are illegally owned.
Right, he doesn't mind the illegal aspect. He just minds the "am I going to get caught" aspect.
Yeah, it's all about saving his ass.
Right. And I'm surprised he has not been throttled more severely because of how many times he's gotten caught. I mean, he must be using up, like, so much of, I don't know, does he have Comcast? So much of Comcast data, because he's always downloading in the highest quality of, like, 1080p and 4K.
Yeah, even every time we're on the call with him, he's like, oh, wait, my internet sucks because I'm downloading Death Note in 1080p. And then he'll be like, all right, hold on, I'm fixing this.
Yeah.
It's like, Steph, why are you doing that? You can go out and buy a physical version of it. It's still licensed by Funimation. Nah, man, F that.
Yeah. It's, I think it's Viz, but yeah, it's on Netflix, and it's on DVD, and it's probably on Blu-ray. There's plenty of ways you can watch it, other than downloading. So, that's another episode where we had an equal length of closing remarks and comments about about the show, huh?
I think we talked about more about closing remarks than Magic Users Club. It's what it feels like.
Yeah, it's about 40 minutes of each, but yeah. So another episode we've got coming up is soon I'm going to see Deadpool, and in about 5 days, the new X-Men movie is coming out, X-Men Apocalypse.
So I'm probably going to see X-Men Apocalypse maybe the next weekend, I'm not sure.
The weekend after it comes out?
Yeah, because I'm gonna be in Raleigh this weekend.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'll see it sometime, and we can probably do a review of that in Deadpool at some point.
Yeah.
But
It's one of those movies, like, Dory's, like, psyched to see it, so, like, we're going to go see it together, obviously, so it might be that next weekend, I don't know.
Yeah. It's, you know, not getting great reviews, but I don't trust Rotten Tomatoes anyway.
Yeah, I don't know, like, TY and Daft are, like, swear, like, it's, like, a religion to follow Rotten Tomatoes and everything they say. They are, like, on hand and knee on that site, and I'm like, no, dude, F them.
I mean, it's like an interesting thing to see just like out of curiosity, but I don't actually take it seriously. Like, I don't actually believe them.
I can't take them seriously. They're like, swear by Rotten Tomatoes. Like, it's like a cult.
They think it actually has a significant effect on box office.
That's such bull crap. No.
Yeah, I think the average person, they see a trailer, they see commercials, and that decides whether or not they see a movie, whether or not the trailer looks good.
They both claim that, like, the average person goes to Rotten Tomatoes and gets reviews there. No, they don't. They look at the trailer and be like, do I want to go pay money to go see this? Yeah, probably. That's the average person. They don't go to a freaking – they don't spend the time to go to a freaking website to get, like, 1,000 opinions on a movie from critics.
Yeah, and watch when Ghostbusters comes out. They're all going to know about this Rolf controversy, and they're all going to feel obliged to support the movie and say it was great, because they're going to get called sexist if they don't. And so it's going to get a good score on Rotten Tomatoes, but everybody saw the trailer. Every normal person saw the trailer and thought, wow, this looks like garbage. I'm not going to see it.
Yeah.
And it's going to do badly at the box office, even though it gets good reviews. So it's going to prove this Rotten Tomatoes thing is just bullshit.
I probably would have taken that, like, it would have gotten bad reviews, but then still did well at the box office.
I mean, that could happen too, if, like, you know, if people actually like the trailer. But I think people don't like it.
It'll probably get, like, maybe a 40% something, but it'll still make, like, double the money that it was made in production.
Well, I hope it does not succeed, because it looks pretty bad, and it seems like every one of these reboots, though, does tend to do pretty well. Like, the Turtles movies, the Transformers movies, all the... But I don't think this has, like... It doesn't have the production value of a Michael Bay movie. I feel like it's going to be lower budget than that, and you know, they're going to try to make it more comedic, and it's not going to be like a blockbuster kind of thing, I don't think. But I could be wrong. You never know.
Okay, like, those grown-ups movies, like, didn't those get, like, the worst reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, but then they still, like, made a ton of money?
Probably. I mean, comedies are like that. People will think they're funny, but the critics will think it's dumb because they think they're, like, above comedies.
Yeah, I mean, like, Grown Ups 2 got, like, what, a 2% on Rotten Tomatoes, but then that movie still made a ton of money at the box office. And I haven't seen neither of those films.
Yeah, I don't want to see those films either.
Me either.
Yeah, but Adam Sandler, that's, like, a perfect example of how Rotten Tomatoes means nothing. All his movies are hated. Like, they all get called sexist. They all get called racist, transphobic, homophobic, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And yet he, you know, in spite of all the hateful reviews towards him, manages to get out a movie, like, every year, even though, you know, most people on the critic, you know, the critic board of Rotten Tomatoes or whatever think he's garbage. Like, the average person still keeps seeing his movies, so he still keeps making them. And that's just proof that Rotten Tomatoes does not actually influence people when they go and see a movie.
They have, like, really no power, but just, like, the power of opinion.
Everybody who wants to decide whether or not to watch something, they only tune into the Anime of Yesteryear podcast. Everyone knows that.
Yeah. I mean, like, our opinions are totally valid and must be respected. And you are a bigoted anti-sogynist if you don't approve of our reviews. And I don't think anti-sogynist should be a real word.
That's
never,
not a word.
Ever say that.
Misogynist. That's the term.
Yeah.
If you don't watch Magic Users Club and tell right stuff that we sent you, then you really must hate women because it has witches in it.
Guys, I hope you realize this is satire. Like, I couldn't care less if you like Magic Users Club or not. I mean, yeah, it was a fun OVA. I mean, I'll hold on to it and keep it or whatever. And then we still got the TV show to get through.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I can't really think of anything else I wanted to talk about for closing remarks.
Okay.
Other than I'm going to Animazement this weekend to sell crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we spent enough time on closing remarks here. So, wait a sec. Didn't you say there was a Chris Chan video that came out a week or two ago? I haven't seen it yet, but it was like he was trying to get Sega to give him money or something.
Yes, it was like his proposition to like try to work for Sega, and all he had all these demands. That in order to work for Sega, for what Sega, like, he wanted to work for Sega, but I was on his own terms. Which, a.k.a., he's not going to get a job. So, there's that.
I think it's funny that this guy, you know, when he was doing the Blue Arms protests, he was literally threatening to murder the president of Sega. He was saying, like, if you don't change the Blue Arms, I'll bomb your headquarters, I'll stab your president to death, you guys are going to pay if you don't change the Blue Arms. And he's like, please hire me and do everything that I say. Yeah, right. That's not the way to get hired. You don't threaten people and then say that you're entitled to a job.
And then he's like, Chris, you threatened to blow us up. No, I didn't. No, that never happened. I never said that. You are the Hillary Clinton of autistic people.
He'll blame them for it. He'll be like, you guys shouldn't have changed the arm color if you didn't want to be killed. Like they could have expected that he was going to react
this way.
That's
not my fault, yeah.
I think it's funny also how the Sonic Twitter account is always making fun of him, the official one. And he's like in denial that it's really an official Sega account, and he thinks it's like the trolls are behind it. Because he can't accept that his idol Sega does not actually want to employ him or want anything to do with him. Okay,
right.
Well, I guess that's it for this episode.
Yep, whenever this gets put out, probably in the summer sometime soon.
Maybe Chin Radio will even be back by then.
Yeah, maybe Toon Radio won't be owned by the Koreans.
We can hope.
We still need to watch some Korean anime and then like come up with like cool communist Koreans podcast or something.
And plus, we have also the Gundam Evolve that they sent us to watch and review.
Yeah, how are you doing on Cobra?
Oh, I haven't started it. I need to. But, like, now that all these, shows are going on, break for the summer, like Arrow and Flash and Gotham and all that, I'll have more time at night to watch it. So I'm going to probably get started this week or next week.
Okay.
It's only 32 episodes or something, right? Something like that?
31, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, it's not that long, so it shouldn't take me that long to watch. And Magic Users Club, that's another series we'll have to watch. That's like, what, 12 episodes or something?
It's 13.
13, yeah. Okay, well, stay tuned next time for more reviews.
All right, take it easy, folks.